Imagine a Ghana where businesses thrive and families enjoy uninterrupted electricity. But a big question to answer, what to do with the ECG, the institution that stands at the center of our energy landscape. For decades, ECG has been the backbone of Ghana's energy sector. But as the nation grows and evolves, so too must our approach to energy. Tonight, we gather to explore the future of ECG and the role it plays in powering our nation.
ECG has a total liability of 13 billion from suppliers. Demurrage alone, because the transformers have been sitting there, by the end of 2024, demurrage 1.5 billion.
They sell these containers, these cables, that ECG needs. After the supplier has been paid, they sell the container and then people resell back to ECG.
Let's all assist the minister, because we all need to get to the bottom of this, to get to the bottom of where each container sits. And I think it's just a matter of all of us, including ECG, including the two state agencies who are in control of the port, have a proper sit down.
It's worse in this area. We experience it at least 5 times a day. It flickers on and off within hours. As barbers, we come and we are compelled to go back home. It's really affecting our work. Dumso is definitely back. We are losing our items and all this heat. It's better to take the light than flicker it.
Well, from the entrepreneur to the homeowner, from the student to the policymaker, we have a stake in ECG's success. And that's why Joy News is bringing you this national dialogue to stimulate a constructive conversation, promote a better understanding of the issues, and of course, encourage collaboration among stakeholders to address the challenges confronting ECG. So again, I ask, what to do with the ECG? Let's get started on this critical conversation. The lights are on and the dialogue is officially open. My name is Elton Robbie. Always a pleasure to be with you. I'm your host for tonight. Welcome to another Joy News National Dialogue, What to Do with the ECG. And of course, my colleague Winston Teke is here with me in the studio as we go over the numbers to establish the foundation for this very important discussion. Winston, what do we have?
Well, ECG is a critical asset for the nation. We keep talking about industrialization. We compare ourselves to Singapore, China, and many countries that started independence, same as Ghana. And we say we could have been there if we had the structures that would propel us to that level. Today, we want to go to the history of the engine that should drive our national development. I want to assess ECG. ECG, first of all, the conversation has been about where the container be. Where are the missing containers? There's been reports that so far 1,328 containers remain unaccounted for.
And this is according to a technical committee that was set up by the current energy minister to probe the missing containers.
Absolutely. And these numbers are a reality of what was deduced out of the report. So far, the committee found out that 1,134 containers are what they can account for. ECG's inquiries give us a figure of 2,464,000, and those are the numbers. The difference gives us a total of 1,328. So these are what currently is being sought out for, and this is according to the technical committee. And these numbers, consistently we keep hearing what has been happening in the media. Some containers being found in some, left in some buildings here and there. However, there's been calls for ECG themselves to still look out for how many or account for how many are still left. We also want to look at some interesting conversation. We had before Parliament when the minister made mention of the fact that this is how much ECG is losing in terms of how long the containers were left at the port.
Almost a billion Ghana cedis.
Almost a billion Ghana cedis. That is 909 million Ghana cedis. And this is how much it is costing, basically, just keeping the container. I'm aware of some documents by the former ECG MD, Mr. Dubik, who was consistently lamenting that those containers shouldn't be placed on sale or auction by the Ghana Revenue Authority, which became a key conversation. Mm. And these communications were documented, although some of them did not find access to the media compared to other ones that were leaked consistently. So we want to look at a very interesting numbers here. This is the share of procurement. When you look at ECG, one of the key conversations is who is selling what and how is the procurement process. ECG conversation became topical where some of the board of directors were saying that ECG is actually a private entity. Mm. And the conversation of whether it's a private or public entity came to light. But if you look at the procurement structure of ECG, in 2022, 109 of other procurements were done, which are basically not sole sourced. Only 33 were sole sourced.
Meaning the 33 did not go to competitive bidding.
Absolutely. And probably could be key structures in that compartment. If you look at the table here, you realize that from 33, it rose to 512 sole source contract being given out without going through competitive building. That is in just 2023 alone.
So in 2022, the number that did not go to competitive bidding stood at 33.
Yes.
Now it will jump to 512 in 2023, just a year after.
Over 100%, over more than 100%, as you can see there. And this is a disturbing phenomenon because the debate asking whether the source or the prices being given to ECG to pay based on supplies or distributors or contracts signed are legitimately reviewed is the key question. And if you look at the numbers in 2024 alone, it hit around 425 just sole sourcing. And this is the key focus here.
And this, again, is according to a technical committee.
That's what they deduce out of this conversation. And these numbers really tells you a story. We will come to that very shortly. ECG's 2025 budget cut. And this is according to the finance minister when he was making energy minister, probably when he was presenting to parliament, that ECG's budget cut has been cut from 500 million to 250 million. And this number...
And the understanding here, this constitutes government support to ECG in the 2025 fiscal year.
Yes. And this support consistently pushed ECG to look more profitable because of that support. Mm. However, there are some key challenges that ECG itself were confronted with. We'll come to the point where we see whether the ECG's board structure, or let's say the governance structure, is something that could be incorporated or has improved over the years, and this is something that will be discussed this evening.
And there's been a lot of concerns about whether ECG should go through PPA in terms of the procurement that they undertake. There is some clarity on this matter, at least according to Gloria Kufu.
Absolutely. And based on that, ECG Defense tries to say that they are probably operate as a private entity. They are government, but the operations is more of a private induced. Mm. They also came to the point that ECG is not bound by the Public Procurement Act. Therefore, they do not abide by the provisions in the Public Procurement Act. And also, ECG made the point that following its own internal procurement rules. And this conversation tells you that this has been how the operation has been, giving the indication in the previous chart that all the procurement numbers are as a result of the narrative that ECG gave in defense of why they operate the way they operate.
Right.
Meanwhile, Attorney General's opinion came by discussing, or let's say lambasting ECG for what he deduced as its modus operandi. ECG, according to the Attorney General, does not receive...
This is a former Attorney General's opinion on this matter.
Yes.
Gloria Kufu in 2020. Mm-hmm.
And she said that ECG does not receive capital injection from government. ECG is not part of the public service. ECG qualifies for exemption from the Procurement Act. And this are the opinion of Gloria Kufu in July 28, 2020. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, the Public Procurement Authorities also came to respond to ECG based on their initial assertion that they operate as a private entity. The first thing the procurement entity made mention is the fact that Government of Ghana's ECG is the sole owner or sole shareholder of ECG. That is the defense of the procurement authority. They also went ahead to say ECG is a state-owned enterprise. Mm. And the third is funds generated by ECG are considered
public funds.
Mm. And not just operational funds for just ECG to accelerate the operations. ECG must comply with the Procurement Act, and this was quite instructive in that assessment.
So now let's talk about ECG planned against actual procurement.
This numbers there tells a very interesting story. In these numbers you see here is between 2002 and 2014. So if you look at the plan projection of ECG, they plan to spend 4.1 billion in all the operations between 2022 and 2024. These are data we saw there. And however, when you look at the actual amount of money they spend, it hovered to about 16.9 billion Ghana cedis. And that gives us a differential of 12.8 billion in terms of deviation from how much they plan to spend. And this is the key issue that I'm sure today's dialogue is going to delve deeper with a lot of expert explanations on going this. To make reason to these numbers here.
And again, this is according to the technical committee set up by the energy minister to probe into the missing containers.
So these numbers tell us whether there will be prosecution, there'll be a review, a committee.
I mean, there should be a reason why ECB projected to spend 4.1 and ended up spending 16.9.
And that is a serious headache for the nation, because ECG, as a critical asset for the nation, is supposed to ensure equitable power supply, ensure cheaper power supply. We know the rural electrification project, that is something that is supposed to ensure access to electricity.
Right.
All these are conversations, but why most of them are not succeeding will go to why we have spent so much, but little to speak about.
So, I mean, these are the individuals who headed ECG, at least in the last, from 2017 up until 2024.
Yes.
So Bwachi Apia from 2017-2019, Ajiman Budu from 2019-2022, Samuel Dobik Mahama from 2022 to 2024, David Asamoah up until, you know, just some few weeks ago. And now there's a new MD for the ECG.
Absolutely. Mr. David Asamoah is now there.
No, he's not. He's been removed. There's a new MD for the ECG.
Absolutely. The light will be shown.
Of course. And he's right here in the studio with me.
Yes, I would. But if you look at the history of ECG, one thing you could see is the corporate governance structure is a key challenge. And if you look at the profitability or loss of the whole structure, it appears it has not been well managed. That is the outlook of ECG. But we'll delve deeper into that. ECG's board chairs in 2017 to 2024, we had Kelly Gajekpo, who was the board chair. Taken over by Herbert Krapa.
Who later will become a Minister of State in charge of energy before the expiration of the Akufo-Addo administration. But he will leave the scene for Alexander Afenyo-Markin, the current minority leader, to head the board to the expiration of the Akufo-Addo administration.
Absolutely. And the key conversation that became quite topical was the fact that where are the missing containers?
Right.
And the state of ECG.
And the role played by the board during that particular episode.
Yes. And why is it that ECG is where it is? And there's been a lot of spectrum conversation whether it should be on concession, just as some were done in South Africa and Kenya.
In fact, there are three proposals for government to consider, and we'll get to that as well.
Absolutely. Now, ECG's profitability, which I want us to look at, is between 2012 to 2023. As you can see from the numbers here, it has always been in a negative conundrum until in 2016, where it hit a profit margin of 209 million. And you can see from these numbers that within these years, that and in 2020 alone, did we experience some form of profitability of 410
million. And we'll probe why it went up so high, almost quadrupling the revenue that ECG was getting. And this happened during the tenure of Mr. Samuel Dobik Mahama.
The disturbing numbers is quite mind-blowing, from 497 million in losses to 2.2 billion in losses. So the numbers moving from just not even 1 billion in 2017 to 2018, but from 400 million to 2.2 billion to next 2019, 1.4 billion. The billion numbers is quite disturbing. One thing that was very interesting is after 2023, we were operating around 10.2 billion. We know the independent power producers, the debt owed them, which will come to that shortly, and these are the liabilities of ECG. If we are, there's been calls to add the whole liability of ECG to the total debt to know how much that debt to GDP is really looking like. Currently, debt to GDP, debt owed to IPPs, independent power producers, which are basically like nine in numbers, is around 1.73 billion. That was
United States dollars.
Yeah, dollars, reiterated by the finance minister when he was before the House of Parliament during the budget presentation. And debt owed by ECG alone is 68 billion. And this is the debt on the burden of the new MD of ECG, the debt on each of us as a nation. And this is something we will be tackling as a nation, whether we have the needed muscles, looking at our current revenue structure. Now, that's all to just the IBPs.
We've gone through that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one thing that is very interesting is Ghana, we went to the IMF because we said we have challenges in managing our economy. We seek conditionalities based on the loan that was given to us. And IMF came out during their consultative meeting and said and proposed that in consultation with the World Bank and the IMF, government will prepare a restructuring strategy to open ECG's operation to private sector participation. That was a proposal. But as to how that proposal will be implemented is something I'm sure today we will be delving deeper into. Proposed ECG privatization model, and this is something I'm just going to be hitting on because the key conversation I want our viewers to know is to stay tuned, because we will be delving deeper today in whether it should go, stay, or should be given on concession. One business entity controls entire ECG.
That's the proposal coming from the Jabez Amisa's committee.
Yeah.
One recommendation that they've made to government. There are two more.
And the second one is different ECG operations are handled by separate entities. This is the second proposal. The third proposal is privatization of home electricity delivery only. So if you're at home, they deliver electricity to your house, basically based on how much you're able to afford per day. And this tells us a very interesting story of what or the state of our energy sector is, from the history of containers, from the history of profitability, IPPs, IMF, and also, as we saw last, the recommendation. This is the foundation for today's conversation.
Thank you so much, Winston Tekki, and of course, from Joy Business. Now, let's wrap up the state of ECG from the perspective of consumers who feel the impact of services provided by ECG. After this report, I'll introduce my guests for this national conversation live here on Joy News and, of course, on Joy 99.7 FM.
For several years, the Electricity Company of Ghana have been at the center of controversy, from its inability to provide stable electricity to debt. Today, we are taking to the street of Kumasi to engage with residents on their thoughts as to what we should do with ECG.
As for the Dumso thing that we are talking about, you know, earlier this year, you know, I think the Dumso has started again. And then no announcement will come. They will just switch off the lights and switch it on anytime that they want, and then and switch it off anytime that they like. And this is what this is. I mean, destroying our appliances. Your TV and your fridges will be on, and then the light will go off, and then it will come on again. I mean, not at once, though, but it may continue about 30 to 40 minutes, you know. It will be doing that on and off, on and off, on and off this thing. And it is affecting us, really. So if the ECG can do something about it, because it's not helping us. I don't know if it's the light bill that we used to pay, you know, is the same light bill that we pay. And they used to increase it yearly. So if you do increase it there, then you have to, I mean, give us better this thing. Better supply. You have to supply good electricity so that we can also feel the money that we are paying. You can also feel it.
I live in Ayajas in New Site, and I think it's too much for us, because we also have exams and all, and like sometimes we even sleep in the darkness, and it's not too good. It's not helping us. We are students, obviously, so we need the light to steady and all that, and then we don't get it. Well, I don't know what to tell them, but I hope they fix it soon. If it's going to help us, I think it's not a problem. Yeah, if they can manage the whole thing properly, it's not a problem.
We do feel for light a year, Jumonia. And I tell my best son, so if you're quite a chain, no one saw it. Your home was a damn brew, a bass in Timina. You may say, but this will be Pierre Bicobon soon, my son, but down, Pierre Bicobon soon, as I said, but down, see, no sonny than Yamian and one to my friend, no one will be my. And him said, Yamin to meet me, I am, and to my. Me meet a bomb so.
Sometimes you get home and you don't have light. This power cut doesn't help us at all. I stay at Bomso and they turn off my light regularly until recently. We don't know why ECG does this. If they need money, let's help them.
It affects me with the electricity. I cannot charge my phone. And I cannot iron my shirt. You see how my shirt look like. If I not iron my shirt, it will look dirty and I will not look neat. I think we should fix the wires, the old ones, and replace it with new ones.
Ghana defrited light off and the was a ECG for minimum the overcome.
We have been in Bomso for years. We plead with the ECG. They should be proactive.
Service and more provide
They know this problem already. And we don't know why they are not working on it. They know this problem already. So if they really want to service, yeah, then they have to do something about it. I mean, from this year upwards, they have to do something about it. We don't know their problem. If they have genuine problem, they should come out and tell us, the Ghanaians, we have genuine problem like this and that. So that if you see that your light is off, you know, sir, ECG has complained that they have what problem. That's why the light is doing such things.
You see, we are about in yogurt. When the light out comes, sometimes our yogurt will ferment. We are losing a lot of products. We deal in natural fruit drinks too. So when the light out comes, by the time we realize all the fruits will be fermenting. Yes, like we have 20 soya milks that has been spoiled. It is in the fridge now. No one is buying it. It's due to the light out. I stay at home, so okay. So at home, so I'm not experiencing such cases. Yes, but this this our job is really collapsing because of the light out, and I think the government should do something about it. Closing it now because it has to be shut down since you are not receiving any important and from them. If only it will help us, and I think it's a good idea. Yes, because it's not improving. Even after Ananado left the government to another political party, we are still experiencing it. And it is even much more than last year because my experience in my job. So I think if handling it to a private company will help, then they should go ahead.
We can't do anything to them as citizens. Only government can caution them. I agree that we hand it over to a private individual. That will help.
When we privatize it, the managers or those who control it will be vigilant, and then the money that goes into it, they will make good use of it. But because it is government this time, They use it anyhow. They use the money anyhow. And we are not benefit from it. So if they privatize and someone is controlling it on his or on her own way, they will be serious about it.
You see, before the end there, me kakra no work and say, omo ishe omo jumana omo yen eyi na omo hayeti mamufo no because omo ma yes omo dundundundum lightness ana and then all the maintenance one of the be ni ba omo tete anu mfimu
by the same light be na na we betia.
They are worrying us. Bills for the month of August this year. But why we cannot be used to light now? But we should not be the whole month in the night. It is say EGC for now. They are almost all the money. Almost all the money. So they are here.
Like I have a education aspect. Like say in case you see and they are some dim light now. Yeah, hostel say any planter. A bit me a boy am I there. Ya continue education aspect. Into a higher power. Yes, and I your dantem, your class are. Yeah, young contribute to a day. Master and mature. Into a higher.
From the opinions gathered, residents of Kumasi are not happy with the Electricity Company of Ghana. But the question remains, what do we do with ECG? For Joy News, my name is Anna Bwachidankwayado, Kumasi.
We are live on X Spaces, we are live on YouTube, we are live on Facebook, myjoyonline.com, and of course, we are live on Joy 99.7 FM, and of course, here on Joy News. Now, let me bring in my guests as we start a discussion on this very important matter of the Electricity Company of Ghana. The Minister for Energy is represented here by Suleiman Abubakari. He's the Deputy Director of Power. Suleiman, you're welcome to the port. You're welcome to this national dialogue. And of course, also in the studio is the Deputy Managing Director of ECG, Mr. David Asamoa. And we'll bring him on shortly once he joins us. Immediate past Managing Director of the Electricity Company of Ghana, Mr. Samuel Dubik Mahama. Mr. Mahama, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Of course, we also have in the studio, we'll also be bringing in engineer Jabez Amisa Arthur. He's joining us via Zoom. He chaired a committee that was set up by the Minister for Energy to digest or, you know, to fine-tune or to understand the issues with ECG and then recommend the way forward. Mr. Jabez and Mr. Arta, good evening, sir, and welcome to this dialogue. Right, we'll have him on very short. Of course, also, the Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Association of Industries, Mr. Sepchuma Kwabwa, will also be joining us on Zoom as well. And Maxwell Kotoka, PRO for NETCO, will also be joining us on Zoom. Collins Ajeman Sapom is also joining us. And Mr. Richard Anamu, former Director General of Ghana Ports and Harbors Authority. Mr. Anamu, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
And also in the studio here this evening is Dr. Ni Dakon Asante, former board member of PRC. Dr. Asante, good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
All right, so, and of course, plus you listening and watching us this evening, your comments are welcome via our social media handles on X Spaces, on YouTube, on Facebook, and of course, on myjoyonline.com. My name is Elton Bob. So let's get the ball rolling. Let me start with Mr. Samuel Dubik Mahama. I mean, ECG has been in the news for some time now. And I was telling my colleagues this morning on the Super Morning Show that if there's any government entity that's taking so much beating in the last 3 months, that will be ECG, from President Mahama to the Minister for Energy and then also to the Minister for Finance. The impression created here is that ECG has been so poorly managed that it will take a miracle to resuscitate it. Let me start with you. The kind of ECG you met when President Mahama, President Akufo-Addo appointed you, and the kind of ECG you left behind.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak. And when you ask what I meant, I was appointed on the 13th of May, 2022. Mm. When I took office, I had already been on the board, so I had a fair insight of what was going
right
on in the company. So you decide to fix a few things or to find out what actually goes to the cracks. But the one major thing that was missing from the board, and of which I was part of the implementation committee because we wanted it to happen, was ECG didn't have a project management office. So at that point, you could realize that there are a whole lot of projects around, some were 10%, 8%. So there are a whole lot of projects that needed to be completed. But in 2022, when we got in, one of the things I mentioned to the board was that, look, there's too much work to be done, but there's not much money to do this work. This is because if you quite cast your mind back, in that the first tenure of President Akufo-Addo, ECG was to be privatized.
Right.
So there was zero investment into the company.
Zero?
Zero. So all the works were aimed at what? Sending ECG into what? Privatization. Now, the whole PDS thing happened. It got botched after nine months. ECG reverted back. The country went into an election. Fast forward, 2021, I was on the board. 2022, I had the opportunity to serve as managing director. Mm. When I sat in the chair, the first thing you ask is to find out the status or the health check of the company.
Right.
When that came in, you could see that there was massive growth in the number of people in the number of customers, but it didn't reflect in the data that we had.
Meaning what exactly?
So you now have there was a system that was given to them called the CMS, the Commercial Management System. Mm. That was a World Bank project, but it had its own deficiencies. That billing system didn't have the capacity to take in the number of customers. So when it hit the 4.5 million mark, all the people that they were inserting as new customers were not dropping into the billing system. So they were hanging.
And so what? They were enjoying electricity for free?
So basically, if you don't find the person, how do you bill him? In your mind, you put them in the system, but the person comes, you can't find them in the system.
And this is ECG's own problem?
Yeah, that was the situation that I met. Again, there were a lot of discrepancies in the thinking around the company called ECG. When I say the thinking, what do I mean? The data analytics brought to me by the PMO, the Project Management Office, pointed out that there were over 700 projects, electrical infrastructure projects that were outstanding, about 100 more in civil works, and in customer service, only 12. At that point in time, you would realize that the business side that is supposed to bring the money in is not really being looked at in terms of business, but the critical infrastructure is being made sure that it's available so that everybody can access. So what I then did was to have a good discussion with the board to tell them that, look, there's no critical new or 21st century utility that doesn't invest in how they interface with their customers. Mm. So we went on a very ambitious drive to change the narrative in terms of our customers and our customer relations.
But these challenges that you speak of now, I mean, when you were appointed, when you assumed office as the managing director, these were not new to you because you had served as board member of ECG then.
I didn't say they were new to me. I said, when they all came to, look, it's different from when you are sitting at the board. You're a policy director. Then finally, you are put in the main chair, and then on a daily basis. There's one thing that I have learned in my 2 years, 4 months of occupying that chair is that the theory that Mike Tyson gave, that you always have a plan until you enter the ring and you are hit in the nose. And then you realize that everything is thrown out. Mm-hmm. Because you can wake up in the morning, all systems go, everything is working perfectly, you're chugging along nicely. By 2 o'clock, there's fuel shortage here, there's this year, there's that. Now the question you ask yourself is the cost of unsold energy. So what do you do? But you know, one of the things that we don't give credit for, because most people don't have the backstory, is that ECG was never, ever at the table. ECG was never at the table in terms of revenue. Because ECG's revenue, when I joined the board, since time immemorial, and everybody was talking, was always like this. There's no utilities revenue that flatlines.
Always on the same wavelength.
It was about 450, 500 million, 450, 500 million. But thanks be, the minister in his last interview said what? 1.5 billion.
Right.
1.5 billion is no mean feat. To move a company that was never at the table, because at that point, everybody had to carry ECG. And in carrying ECG, what did it mean? You understand? Now, the main way, or the single way for you to collect revenue is through meters.
Right.
Metering.
Mm.
Now, the question is, what's the lifespan of a prepaid meter? That's one thing most people don't know. Prepaid meters do expire.
And the way they do, I mean, there's no way of checking the consumption level.
It is not
of consumers.
So PURC will do a beautiful job of giving ECG a tariff.
Mm.
ECG will fire the tariff into the meter while you are enjoying 2013 meter. Unfortunately for maybe Sule is on the 2022 meter. So he'll receive the new tariff.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the meters are all, you know, prepaid metering started under President Kufo.
But we'll come to the way forward.
I'm building the backstory for you. So in deciding to embark on the digitization journey, we called a few people in place. There was an unsolicited proposal which was going to be even considered under PDS, which we saw, went through the whole thing. We changed how we procured meters.
Mm.
We installed meters. As at the time that I got into office, ECG had a huge lack of meters in the system, and ECG's installation was about 2,500 meters a month. As at the time I was leaving office, they were such an efficient machine that they were doing about 100,000 meter installations in a month. All of these things require investment.
Right.
You cannot have a multi-billion-dollar or billion CD industry in Ghana and not invest in it. I sometimes hear the whole conversation around it, and then you realize that, look, yes, ECG's debt. Oh, this is ECG's debt. But nobody fails to calculate what portion of the debt falls under, what do you call it, forex losses. What is the portion? Because every single implement in ECG is in USD.
Mm.
From the you buy electricity in dollars, you sell it in CDs. By the time you are going back to procure those dollars to pay, what's the forex rate?
Mm.
You come into the office in the morning, you are rich. By the time you close, you're poor. For example, last year around this same time, it was February, when the whole digitization process ended, ECG went cashless, the revenue was coming in. The board then said, you know what? Those projects that are 5 years old, 6 years old, 3 years old, 2 years old, that are lacking materials and everything, there has been no investment into the company. So we need to procure all of those things so that those projects are completed, so that it will enhance service delivery. Take an area like Chado, Sapeman, Amasama, Oyarifa. And to use a better description, as I say all the time, we are slight Ghanaians. We were brought up to hide everything we have. So the conversation is, oh, you are rich, you have money. He says, no, I don't have money. But he's building a house. Because he's building the house, he doesn't want to accept. He's gradually gets there. He's done building the house.
Mm-hmm.
Calls an electrician or one or two people, doesn't go through the right channel. He's joined to the grid. Now, a distribution transformer that you thought was supposed to carry about 15 homes is now carrying about 20, 25. Now, the people in the area are complaining about, what do you call it?
Low current.
Low voltage. Mm. That's what they say, yeah. What do you have to do? And there's always a complaint. And don't forget, low voltage is loss of revenue.
Mm.
So you have to inject. You have to inject another transformer. You have to build new lines. You have to do this. Where are you going to get all of these things to do? So if you look at the table, one of my major problems that made me decide that I was not going to speak to that final interim report was, one, I was not given a hearing.
We'll come to that. If you just allow me so that I can let the other guests also have a bite on this preliminary comments on this matter. So maybe I'll give you just 1 minute to wrap up, and then I can go to Sulemana.
So in going forward, what I'll say is, as at the time I was leaving office,
I can say for a fact that the company was in very good and healthy situation because
very good.
The board had, in fixing or in going forward, the board had made us ring fence a certain amount of money from our daily revenue to service the lines for all of these, improvements that we had to do. And then also, the board had also come up with innovative ways for us to be speaking to government to find a way to address our tax issues. And I'll come to all of that.
Of course, we'll do that. Let me bring in Suleimana Abubakar. He is the Deputy Director in charge of power at the Ministry of Energy. What is the ministry's understanding of the state of ECG?
Well, thank you. As you well know, from the policy perspective, it is the wish of government that we have uninterrupted, supply of power. Petroleum products, are affordable, so that as we see, we keep the lights on, and then we also get, vehicles moving. So having said that, that is possible when we have an efficient, working energy sector. And as you know, Ghana's energy sector, it used to be vertically, integrated. When we started the power sector reforms, all towards efficiency, improvements, we unbundled them. ECG being in the last, segment, that's the taking care of distribution. So when we say we want an efficient energy sector, you want efficient generation, transmission, for that matter, efficient distribution. Efficient distribution would mean a lot of the things that have been described as inefficient now being efficient. Unfortunately, to get to your question, we have a situation right now where we do not have, a fully efficient whole value chain, So if you take the distribution segment, we have lots of issues there. And these are what is manifesting in some of the challenges that we have now. So in a net effect, this is how, we see it. But the Ministry of Energy, who sets, policy for the sector. Mm. As I said, as constantly reviewing our notes with respect to how do we create an enabling environment through policy to get the distribution, segment functioning as well. The same goes for transmission and distribution.
But the minister's comments, sort of create the impression that ECG has been deliberately run down. And I'm wondering how he came to such a conclusion.
Well, as I've explained, it is not just the ministry that sees ECG in its, in its current state as, for want of a better word, performing suboptimally. The average Ghanaian also sees that, well, you don't want, suboptimal voltages. You want, regulator-approved performance indices that meet, what, we all expect, so that we can have our lights on and all the time. So if you do not see that, obviously, we would all conclude that there's a lot of inefficiencies. Mm. I want to put it, in a different light from what the minister says.
Dr. Ninda Kwasante, you've heard the former MD. He's laid the foundation quite clearly for everybody to see. You've heard the minister's representative. You've sat on the board of PRC before, so obviously you had a lot of dealings with the ECG. Let me hear your initial comments on the state of affairs with a major entity like ECG.
Thank you and good evening. ECG is basically the heart of the electricity sector. Mm. The generation is important because without generation, you can't have the electricity. But at the end of the day, ECG is the one that all the customers deal with. They are the ones who supply the power to us. They are the ones we are supposed to pay. And because of that, they essentially oil the wheels of the whole energy sector. Mm. So when ECG is sick, the whole power sector is sick. And unfortunately, the whole power sector is sick. Because ECG is sick. As for the problems, there are many, and we can recount all of them. But at the very heart of it, and I think the former MD alluded to the fact that the revenue that was being collected was insufficient for a number of reasons. But no matter what the reasons are, as long as you do not collect the revenue that is required to run the sector, nothing else will work properly. At a point, we were collecting slightly below 50% of the amount of money required to pay everybody.
Even as you speak, the finance minister says that ECG is only able to do 64%.
So it's maybe improved slightly, but 64%, I think for all of us, if we only paid 64% of our salaries, we probably would have major issues with
that. But that also defeats ECG's whole commitment to say that we will reduce losses by at least 30%.
Well, I mean, when it comes to losses, we have a poor track record in measuring what our losses are. When you look at the actual cash, as they say, cash is king. If you have bills of 1 million and you're only collecting 400,000 or 620,000, whatever percentage you say you are collecting is not so important. The fact is, you're only able to pay 62% of the bills required to keep the sector running. And that is the reality. We see IPPs constantly saying, pay us. The money is not there. So they are not paid. And then government has to come in and pay. Government doesn't manufacture money. They'll take money from your pocket, from my pocket, in the form of taxes, or go and borrow from somebody else. And we all know what borrowing has done to us as a country. So the sum total of it is that if the money is not coming in, for whatever reason, we have a problem. And sadly, we do have a problem.
All right. Let me allow Ms. Anamu. We will come to the issue of the shipping concerns and, of course, procurement. Ms. Owusu Ajiman. But you are also consumers. I mean, you are customers of ECG. Let me pick your initial talks on the state of ECG before I also bring in Mr. Jabesha, Mr. Arata, and the man from the IPPs. Let me start with you, Ms. Owusu Ajiman. So, I mean, you are a consumer, you are a customer of ECG. I'm wondering whether you're happy with the way they are managing their business.
Well, when it comes to, yes, we've all been there, we've visited, and there's meter issues. I've been a victim, or I don't know how to use, where my meter was expired or whatever. And there was a day, I was there, I had about 500, on my meter. Then I was there and I was called from home that the lights were off. So I quickly gave money to my son, sent money to my son to go and buy ACG. Then he went there with 350 cedis. He bought the 350, he got home, the thing was still off. And they were telling us that there was a negative. I said, how can I spend 1,000 cedis within 3 days? Right? So now I was owing. No, it started like, there was a time, about 4 weeks, the meter wasn't reading or something. So I said, this meter. So I started giving my son every week, we'll go and buy 200. Because I knew that the day that they will come back, they may sweep everything. So at about 4 weeks, 250, 4 weeks. Then I was there and I was told that the light gone off. We went there, paid 500, and they said that we were still at a negative. Right? Then we had to call people. When you call them, they have a number. They will tell you they are coming, they are coming, they are coming.
They never came.
They will never come. So we were there and they said they will come and change the meter. So they brought some glassy whatever. And when they brought that meter, there were units on it, about 400. That unit never came. So maybe anyway you are not there. So if I was going to take my money back today. So we are all consumers.
Of course.
I mean, if you've lived in Accra for a very long time, lighthouses are not something that you
of course
contend.
Okay.
So that is where they come in, that we are, I'm a consumer.
Of course, and I'll come to your area shortly, but clearly the acting in you is beginning to remain on this show. Mr. Anamu, you also have similar stories to tell?
Not really, as far as the director, because I live in Tema.
Mm.
And I think sections of Tema, I think we're fortunate to have some of the new meters, so to speak. But I think there's no, I mean, I don't think any of us in doubt, or of course the whole country, as to the relevance and importance of ECG in our life. I mean, without ECG, supplying power to us, I do not know how this country would look like. GPHA is a major consumer of electricity.
Mm.
Major consumer of electricity. I mean, GPHA takes the power and block, and then redistributes it in the whole space.
Yeah.
GPHA operates 24 hours non-stop. I mean, vessels are arriving, cargo is being delivered, I mean, from the vessels, and restocked containers are sorted out in the night, you know, throughout the night.
Mm.
So the 24-hour economy has been the hallmark of GPHA. Therefore, electricity is very, very, very
important.
Mm. And I have said a number of times when I'm talking about ECG is that I see ECG as an institution that has so many customers who have lined up in demand, but they are not able to meet their demand. They don't need, ECG doesn't need to spend money advertising for customers. No. I mean, customers are already in the queue.
Because they enjoy monopoly. they enjoy that monopoly.
Well,
there's no other in that same space.
Well, that could be one of the reasons.
Mm.
I think but the reason being that the demand is high, population is growing, living standards are growing, and therefore the need for ECG to live up to expectation is very, very important. It's very, very high.
Okay.
So I think that this problem that we're facing with ECG is something that is of major concern.
Mm.
I mean, both from the private homes and, of course, from the industry. My little experience within the first few days is the fact that you want to buy credit, even though it's supposed to be one of the latest meters, and it says meter cannot be reached. Something like that.
Mm.
I can explain that to you.
Yes.
Because
yeah, so
it's something that has happened now after, which is...
Well, no, it has always been there, you know. So, you know,
yeah.
So it means that there's something new. And you go to the vendors, that's if you cannot load by yourself, then you go to the vendors, and the vendors say, we are facing the same problem. You know, meanwhile, it's getting to midnight. What do you do? So I think that the issue of ECG is... a producer who has excess demand online and they're not able to meet.
All right. Let me go on Zoom now and bring in some other, parties to this particular matter. Mr. Jabez and Mr. Arta. Mr. Arta, if you can hear me and if you can unmute, good evening and welcome to the dialogue.
I think this will be good.
Thank you.
Great, and it's great to have you. I also shortly will bring in Mr. Ametokpo. He is with the IPPs. But let me start with you, Mr. Arthur. You've heard a power entity before, We Power Authority. You've heard the issues with ECG. For you, what could be the major challenge that confronts ECG that requires immediate attention?
I think that as one of the panelists has already alluded to, there is no business that can survive if you are incurring the level of losses that are being reported by ECG. You can't lose 30% of your commodity and expect to run a profit. So if you ask me, that is one of the first things. That is a major thing. And then there is also the sense, I'm sure you have alluded to some of that, that the practices in the company needs a lot more discipline. The company needs discipline, both of its staff and respect for its procedures and so on. That is the general sense that I get.
But can you break down the discipline aspect for me so that we can better appreciate it?
I think that some of what we are hearing is whether the company follows its own procedures or laid down procedures for the things it needs to do, how the processes within the company are followed and abided by. And those are things. And think simple things like reporting, right, and so on, they are all indications of the level of discipline within the company. And many people are talking about that and complaining that something needs to be done. It needs that level of discipline before things can get better. Mm. As a professional myself, it pains me to hear the kinds of things that are being said about a company like ECG, because it should be a shining light of how we as Ghanaians can run our companies.
But indeed, where will you place the blame? Is it political interference? Have we had incompetent people in responsible positions at the ECG? Where will you place the blame?
I think that a lot of people have talked about political interference. But what I would say is that political interference is everywhere, okay? And it is the duty of top management to keep political interference to a minimum and away from it. If you are a CEO and you cannot protect the company from external influences that let it do things that it shouldn't do, then maybe you should ask yourself if you are in the right place.
Is it that easier said than done? You've been in such a position before. I'm wondering how you were able to survive in the mix of some of these presidents brought to bear on the chief executive, especially when you are appointed by the president and you need certain things done. To what extent can you say no?
You can't also do things that will bring the company down. So it's a very delicate thing. How you manage it, but you have to be able to point out to the person who is giving you the instruction that this will not work and this will not inure to the benefit of the organization. If you need to find another way to accomplish the goal for him, you have to do that. But that is your job. There's a wish that you do this. But if it cannot work, if it cannot serve the company well, you have to find a solution for it. There's no excuse saying that it was ordered from above. Mm. Those of us in public service, we must understand that we serve ultimately for the people of Ghana. And so what is best for the people of Ghana must be factored in every time. If the instruction will not serve the country, you have to find a way to either change it or get the person to understand it, or one way or another. You can't just do it and say that it was ordered from above.
You had the responsibility of advising on the way forward for ECG. Walk us through the recommendations that you've put before the minister. What informed these three areas that you're asking government to focus attention on and come up with one to drive the future of ECG?
What we did was we engaged so many, many people. I think in the end, the secretary was telling us that we had spoken to 295 individuals and 35 organizations to understand what their view was. And what we did was, first of all, to compile what we believed to be the challenges that were undermining the efficient performance of ECG. Mm. So we identified these challenges, and then we looked at all the models of private sector participation to see how well they address the challenges, and therefore had charts to assess each of them, which ones will address the challenges we face, mm. and how how easy will it be for them to address these challenges? And then that is the basis we worked on. And for, and we also looked at, for every option, there is a strong point, there's a weak point, there's a pro, there's a con. So what we did was, for government to make a good decision, it needs to have a greater insight as to what is trading, what is good about this one, what is not so good, and so that the choice is made on an informed basis. So that is what we sought to do.
And for you, and for you, which one should be given priority? I mean, all the three, all the three recommendations, I see private sector participation running through all of them. You are certain that ECG cannot be managed by public appointees, like, for example, people appointed by the president or the energy minister?
Well, from what we have heard, it is possible for the system to work if certain conditions are met. But if those conditions are, we have talked about one of them already, that we have said that that the CEO must be able to withstand external influences that are not going to adhere to the benefit of the organization. And if there's a weakness in doing that, then probably the only solution is to have a private sector entity that will not listen to those instructions. I've heard people also say that